weeks after my miscarriage. My husband was 35 when brain cancer finally killed him. My father, 64, when he died of cancer of the everything. In the aftermath of these monumental losses, I'd written a book, established a nonprofit retail brand, and started a podcast. I'd also fallen in love again, and yes, I was pregnant. And these two new parts of life were fact, but they had also filled me with a deep ambivalence and a splash of shame that I had no interest in talking about with 100 strangers or even 100 friends. Or even one friend. I didn't want to talk about it with anybody. I thought everyone knew that it was 1000% inappropriate to ask a woman if she was pregnant, especially a woman who has publicly shared her pregnancy loss. Especially a woman who has publicly shared her pregnancy loss and is now standing in intentionally loose clothing in front of approximately 100 strangers just a year and a half after her husband died. All this inquisitor knew was that I looked a little puffy in the face and a little thick in the midsection, and that I'd posted a few times about a man I was dating. I hadn't hidden my relationship with Matthew, but I was more private about it than most people who fall deeply in love. He'd met my family and my few close friends. Most people in this blissful state can't help but scream it from the rooftops and all forms of social media. I didn't post photos of Matthew very often. And when I did, I didn't use his name. Anyone who followed me on social media would be under the impression that I was dating someone, that I was happy. They most certainly would not know that we were full-on in love, we were blending our families, and that I was now gestating a fresh human. I did this partially because Matthew is the kind of person for whom the internet is simply a utility, a font of information and nothing more. He has the supernatural ability to look at his phone only when he needs to. And the idea of posting something about his life on the internet in a way that strangers can view is a concept he cannot grasp. So yes, I was partially trying to respect his privacy, but I was mostly trying to protect myself from the judgment of others, which was primarily just a projection of my own self-judgment. There was a version of me that thought loving another person would somehow diminish the love I still felt for Aaron. A version of me that thought that if I was happy, I must not be sad anymore. And if I wasn't sad anymore, then I guess I didn't love Aaron as much as I said I did. Or maybe that my new happiness was ill-gotten, a well-made fake, something I swiped off the back of a truck when no one was looking. This is what life looks like when you water the seeds of joy with guilt and shame. It feels as good as it sounds. When bad things happen to you, a death, an illness, a divorce, a job loss, you quickly go from being a person to being just a sad story. I know from experience that nobody wants to be a sad story, and that no matter what you've been through, your story is always so much more than just sad. And your happy stories are more than just happy. Obviously, everything is more complicated than it appears on Instagram, but it is incredibly difficult to live with complicated. It is even more difficult for other people to deal with complicated. Are you pregnant? This stranger didn't know that she had pushed me into a rabbit hole of shame with her question. She was giving me a chance to tell everyone about my happy ending, about how the struggle and the loss was all worth it. But that's oversimplifying the narrative. I couldn't talk about my happiness without touching the uncomfortable truth that everything I have now is built on everything I lost. That I wouldn't have this book, my last book, a podcast, this baby, my man, and this big blended family if I hadn't first lost Aaron and my dad and that second baby. That the trade would never seem fair, no matter how much I love Matthew or this baby or this family of ours. I could never say I'd rather have one version of my family over the other. In certain widow circles, they call falling in love again your chapter two. It's not a whole new life or a whole new story, it's the continuation of something. But death is not the